This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
John Durham is an independent man, highly experienced, and his investigation is pursuing apace. There was some delay because of COVID. Tomorrow, there will be a development in the case. You know, it's not an earth-shattering development, but it is an indication that things are moving along.
The Associated Press is now reporting that a former FBI lawyer will plead guilty to making a false statement in the first criminal case coming from the John Durham probe into the Russia investigation.
Oh, my God. Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
Live from the Matthews Brothers studios.
A simple proposition. Every single American should be wearing a mask when they're outside for the next 3 months at a minimum.
How do you plan to actually achieve that?
Hey guys, come on, thank you.
He refuses to take questions. He never takes questions. I take questions. He never takes questions.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
And so he's going to find a different way to win, which is basically to try and undermine the election itself by undermining the post office. Coronavirus death after coronavirus death. I don't know how much more these Republicans need. I don't know how much information the American people need.
There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to vote in person or otherwise. If you go and wear a mask, if you observe the physical distancing, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to do that.
Thank you. No further questions.
Unchained and unstoppable.
He can't handle the fact that a woman of color is risen to this place and will soon be the vice president of the United States.
Shut up! Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. Thank goodness it's Friday. It's a nice Friday for most people, but not if you're a crooked former FBI lawyer named Kevin Kleinsmith. He's due in federal court today in the District of Columbia to plead guilty to trying to frame Carter Page, the Navy veteran and Trump aide. He falsified a document to get an application for a FISA warrant to surveil Carter Page. And today he's going to plead guilty. And the Attorney General Bill Barr was on TV last night. And he said, this is not an earth-shattering development, but it's not bad. I'll take it. I'm glad that one person, I hope he's not the last, is going down, and we'll see if he does any prison time. He won't be sentenced today, obviously. He's just in court to plead guilty. And I assume that he's going to cough up other people. And, you know, it seems to me that you don't start framing the president. If you're trying to frame people, railroad them into prison, you don't start with the aide to the president of the United States. But they were really after Donald Trump. I think you start at a lower level.
It's like if you rob a bank, you usually start by trying to steal a piece of Laffy Taffy. Yeah. You don't start with the bank.
Right. You were 10 years old and you were in a candy store.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't go into the bank. The bank isn't your first job.
And you got a taste. You got a taste for the life of crime.
They don't hit you for drunk driving the first time you did it.
No, right.
That's the way
Howie,
it works.
It is time for Grace's News. We have a lot to get to. I first want to talk about that introduction because Trump brought up today the fact that he takes all these questions. Biden does not take any questions. And I heard from someone that Chuck Todd, after Biden walked off the stage yesterday. So if you missed it, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris came out yesterday onto their stage with their masks on, took their masks off, told the world that they thought the United States should have a mask mandate, which is a pretty, you know, big declaration. And then they walked off without taking any questions.
Probably unconstitutional as well.
Oh, you know how they feel about the Constitution.
I know. It's just a piece of paper, as
well,
Barack said.
Biden said this isn't about your rights.
No. Biden doesn't realize everything's about our rights. That's why we're in the United States of America, Joe Biden. Anyway, he did not answer any questions. which is infuriating. I've been saying this for a long time. It should really scare people that we have this guy who could become president and he's not expected to answer any questions.
How about it? Doesn't it also scare you that we have a press that is so docile that they'll let him get away with this?
This is what I was going to tell you. I guess Chuck Todd after said, oh, we took it for a little while there. And I'm obviously paraphrasing. We took it for a little while there because sometimes you can bait someone with a question as they're walking off the stage. But, you know, Joe Biden's so disciplined. Now they're giving him a pat on the back for not taking their questions. Can you talk about
in this
sad?
In this case, the synonym for disciplined is non compos mentis, not of sound mind.
But imagine the groveling of these press people that they're giving him a round of applause for not taking their questions. And here's the thing. He's really enjoying playing president, playing pretend, you know what I mean? Like, he's the president, he gets up, Donald Trump needs to do this, I have an idea for this, Donald Trump should do this. It's cute, like, you can do that. But if you're gonna play president for the day, you gotta take some questions.
It's really amazing when he was caught plagiarizing the speech in 1987.
I was gonna say which one.
It knocked him, the first time he ran for president, 33 years ago, it knocked him out of the race like that. And there were these journalistic stories. I mean, they really treated him like a Republican. You know, they didn't use kid gloves. They didn't grovel in front of him. They covered the story like it was really a news event that he'd been caught red-handed stealing this speech from a guy who wasn't even an American, a Brit, a Welshman. And it's so amazing how much the media has gone into the tank for the Democrats in a single generation.
It really is. And the other amazing thing, which you also heard in Taylor's fabulous introduction today, was Nancy Pelosi saying, I'm so sick of hearing her say, Trump can't handle things. He can't handle a strong black woman. He can't handle this. He can't handle that. He can handle a hell of a lot more than your guy who can barely handle getting on and off the stage. And I say that with sympathy. I'm not trying to be mean, but let's not talk about what people can handle right now, Nancy. Because between Nancy and Mika Brzezinski, they look like they both need a rubber padded cell.
Yeah. And also, I would just like to tell Dr. Fauci to stand by for a barrage. Now that you've said that America can handle going down to the precinct and voting on November the 3rd, your adoring fan base is going to turn on you.
Yeah, no,
like,
exactly.
Rabid jackals.
Unless he changes his mind in 2 hours, which
he's been known to do.
Yeah.
For 50 years or so.
Well, hopefully he can figure that out. I want to talk a little bit about these Black Lives Matter protests, specifically the ones that went on in Seattle. A group of Black Lives Matter protesters in Seattle marched through a residential neighborhood this week demanding that white residents give up their homes. Footage of the Wednesday demonstration posted to Twitter shows a crowd of dozens chanting Black Lives Matter before an unidentified man projects his anger towards white residents, saying they are living in a historically black section of the city, as another woman in the crowd yells that they should give up their homes. And here's a quote. Do you know that before your white bleep came here, this was all black people? Do you know people like you came in here and basically bought all the land from the black people for less than it was worth, kicked them out so you could live here? Do you know that?
Kicked them out? I believe they sold, didn't they? They sold the property.
Another woman in the crowd then urges the residents to open their wallet as the man continues to yell at the unidentified residents off camera. How do you plan to fix it? You're part of the problem.
There goes the neighborhood.
Give black people back their homes.
Do they want the mortgages too?
It's crazy they didn't get into those details. It's a good question, though. In other news, speaking of homes, let's get into a little bit of the Wall Street Journal piece that was very interesting on the portfolio of houses that Kamala Harris has.
Which one is she going to give up? She's got three of them, like Bernie Sanders. I guess that's standard for Democrat presidential candidates, right? Three houses.
So she's got three houses. Attorney Doug Emhoff.
That's her husband.
They live in the Brentwood area of Los Angeles.
Brentwood?
$2.7 million.
Who used to live in Brentwood?
That's how much they bought it for.
A guy had a white Bronco. OJ.
Oh, yeah.
OJ lived.
OJ.
In in Brentwood.
OJ's been on Twitter so much lately giving his... He went on the other day, just a short tangent here. He goes on the other day, and I click on it because I can't resist seeing what he has to say. And he's like, they're saying the kids should go back to school. Here's what I think about that. It's like, dude... Read the room. We don't need your advice right now, let alone on children's education.
But I would like his take on
Kamala
living in the neighborhood.
She also owns apartments in San Francisco and Washington, D.C. Records show home values at close to $8 million combined. Mr. Emhoff purchased a four-bedroom Brentwood house in 2012 for $2.7 million, but it's currently valued at $5 million. It was built in the 1950s and is about 3,500 square feet.
But the place in San Francisco is very small. Look at it. It's only 1,000 square feet. That's not much at all.
No. I mean, I would take it if she's trying to get it off her
hands.
How
much is the place in San Francisco worth?
So the place in San Francisco is worth $489,000. Well, it was in 2004. Its current value is $890,000.
That's not much appreciation for San Francisco. That must not be that great of a neighborhood.
It's amazing what poop on the sidewalks can do to your home value. It really is. Poop is one of those things, Howie. You know, things can be going your way, and then a human being poops on the sidewalk, and bam, mm-hmm. you start to rethink your investment.
Hypodermic needles in the gutter aren't really good either for property appreciation.
Zillow estimates the property's value, this is still Brentwood, California, around $5 million. Records show that Senator Harris's next-door neighbors include movie producer Mickey Little, whose recent films include Jackie, about Jackie
Liddell,
Kennedy.
Isn't it? Liddell, I think.
Liddell. In Washington, D.C., Senator Harris owns a two-bedroom condo at the Westlake Condo Complex in the district's West End. It's so convenient, right on the dividing line of Georgetown and DuPont Circle and Foggy Bottom.
Oh, boy. Very fashionable.
By the way, guys, Grace's News is brought to you, and I'm so excited, by Toyota of Portsmouth, the house of value. Everybody knows I love my new car. It is so beautiful. It is navy on the outside, tan leather seats on the inside. I got it at Toyota of Portsmouth. Everyone there is going to make you feel special. Jim Boyle is there. The place is incredibly clean. Brad was my car salesman, and he was so nice. Sometimes you go to a car place, and they're so pushy, and they make you feel like you have to get something. These guys are the best in the business. They will make you feel like family. Toyota of Portsmouth has a huge, sparkling, clean showroom and an incredible staff. Make sure you mention my name. They are located just south of the Portsmouth traffic circle off 95. Go to toyotaofportsmouth.com or visit them at the showroom. And like I said, tell them I sent you, and also mention that you listen to Howie Carr because they're big fans of the show.
We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
He's New England's talk radio king. He's Howie Carr.
Hi, my name is Jane Lucas, and I am from the town of South China, Maine.
This is Al from Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Hey, I'm Angela from Brewster on the Cape, and this is the one and the only Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Today's poll question is sponsored by our friends at MassFiscal.org. MassFiscal has led the charge against tax increases, most recently opposing Governor Charlie Baker's horrible doubling of the gas tax under the guise of calling it the TCI, Transportation Climate Initiative. Sign up for free to protect yourself at MassFiscal.org. Now, MassFiscal.org now. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should Kevin Kleinsmith serve time in prison?
This is the crooked FBI agent who's pleading guilty today in federal court to, I guess, falsifying a document, obstruction of justice, whatever. Yes, he should, definitely.
Only 3% say no.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he will because I've been let down so much with these kind of things, but I think he should as well. Howie, I wanted to talk a little bit about this crazy story. A bald eagle attacks a $950 state drone, drops it into Lake Michigan.
Is this in Michigan? Is this a Michigan drone?
Yes.
So this drone belongs to Gretchen Whitmer.
Yes. She might have to call, or her husband could call.
Let's hear it for the bald eagle.
Her husband should call up that bald eagle and say, just so you know.
Right.
My
wife's the governor. The bald eagle likes that barber that we had on. couple months ago, the one who stood up to her and beat her in court at every turn.
Why would a bald eagle like a barber?
Well, a bald eagle, he's just...
He's bald.
Give yourself a Mitt Romney for that, Taylor.
The
that
barber was defending the rights of all Americans, including bald eagles.
How he really likes bald eagles.
I do.
It's bald eagles, bridge, the card game, and bridges. Those are your three.
No, I don't like all bridges. I don't like all bridges, but I like the Tappan Zee.
I'm stopping this right now before it goes any further. A shoreline mapping eagle drone. This is crazy. It's called an EGLE drone, an eagle drone.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously the bald eagle knew it was an imposter.
Learned its lesson the hard way when a bald eagle attack tore off a propeller and sent it plummeting to its death.
Plummeting.
In the depths of Lake Michigan, never to be seen again. $950 for a drone, though. Not bad. Seems like kind of a good deal, if you ask me. Yeah, Howie, so I know you talked about this a little bit earlier, but I do want to remind people again. Dr. Fauci today said there is no reason Americans can't vote in person in November. Donald Trump has been getting up almost every single day at his press conferences and citing plenty of examples of voter fraud. Right. And the media continues to say he's worried about voter fraud or mail-in voting without evidence.
Cut from Phil Murphy, the governor of New Jersey.
Yeah, let's play this. This is on New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy on voter fraud in Paterson. This is cut 13.
There was a problem in Paterson, New Jersey. Part of it had to do with just failures in terms of how the ballots were delivered and where they were delivered. There was a tiny bit of fraud as well. How will you prevent that in the general election?
Yeah, there was some very specific issues around the Paterson mail-in ballots in our May local elections, and the law enforcement is actually pursuing that. Overwhelmingly, this was successful. You never could say you bat 1,000, but I'm pretty sure that we have a higher probability of being hit by lightning than we do uncovering voter fraud.
They probably got 9 members of the city council in Paterson, and only 2 of them have been arrested. So that's pretty good.
Is Phil Murphy a baseball player?
No, he's a graduate of Needham High School.
Did he play basketball?
Yeah, he must have played something.
He probably played with he and Charlie Parker, our governor, Charlie Baker, were classmates together at Needham High School. And they have two of the three top highest death rates in the country.
It just cracks me up what the press is able to say is not valid as evidence. Mm-hmm. Like citing stories from the Washington Post of voter fraud every day. And that doesn't count as evidence. That is, you know, not based on fact. That is based on myths and anecdotes. It's just the same thing over and over again.
Did you notice the reporter, the Democrat stenographer with a press pass said, well, there was a tiny little smidgen of fraud.
Yeah, fraud's one of those things. I don't care if it's tiny. I don't really want it. And the truth is, and I said this to Howie yesterday, this idea, this whole thing of what do you say to people who are worried that you're not concerned about their safety? Any human being, especially in this country, who thinks that the government is genuinely concerned about your safety, and especially over the last 3 months, you got to wake up. They're not concerned about your safety. Okay. This whole thing is not about your safety. And before I go off that, Howie, I have one question for you. So you know how yesterday Biden said he wanted a mask mandate? Let's just say in a world this happened and there was a mask mandate. Would you rather wear a mask or a face shield? Think about it.
I'm just not going to go outside if those are my choices.
You have to wear one inside, sir.
I don't work for the state of Wisconsin. I don't have that that mandate yet, that order.
Answer the question!
Governor Walker never made everybody wear a mask. It was only when the Democrat Evers got in there. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. If you want to join us, we are joined now on the news line by Mercedes Schlapp. She is a senior advisor for Trump 2020. Thanks for being with us today, Mercedes. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So the Durham probe of the Russian collusion hoax has claimed its first scalp today, apparently, or is about to claim its first scalp. Kevin Kleinsmith, a crooked FBI lawyer who falsified a warrant application to use against Carter Page, is going to plead guilty. How does this help the campaign?
Well, I mean, it just shows the complete corruption that we have seen based on you know, all this Russian hoax and all this investigation that we saw happen. So, you know, it just, again, it makes it very clear that, you know, that Donald Trump, they were trying to frame Donald Trump from the beginning.
And apparently this is another guy who was on the Mueller special counsel team for a while anyway, along with Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. I mean, these guys were all totally partisan. And, you know, and in the case of Kleinsmith, they were willing to commit crimes. The guy's an officer of the court, and he's falsifying documents that are presented to the court under pains and penalties of perjury.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you're seeing clearly that in 2016, Obama-Biden administration, they weaponized the FBI and the Department of Justice against their political opponent. This is an abuse of power like we've not seen. It represents the greatest political crime in American history. And let me tell you, it's important that everyone involved in this plot to hurt our country must be held accountable for their corruption and for perverting our democratic institutions, especially Joe Biden. And, you know, it's a good step in the right direction that an FBI official and a key member of Robert Mueller's team is pleading guilty to doctoring this evidence of the illegal spying operation against President Trump.
So the Democratic convention starts on Monday. So they're going to be all over the TV for the next few days, getting all this free publicity. And how's the president going to handle this? How's the campaign going to handle this torrent, even more slobbering coverage than usual from most of the mainstream media?
Well, I think, you know, one thing is that we're going to show up in person. While Joe is a no-show here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I'm actually in Green Bay today with my husband, Matt. I'm hopping on the Women for Trump bus tour on Sunday in Milwaukee. We're going to be going and visiting with our great volunteers who are doing fabulous work in contacting persuadable voters and continuing to build out our grassroots here in Wisconsin. The president is headed to Milwaukee on Monday. So we are going to have a strong presence in this state. It's very important. As we know, we won Wisconsin by about 22,000 votes. We want to win it again. And so that really means investing time here. I just think that Joe Biden's virtual approach and just living out of the basement is just not good enough, because it's very clear that the American people understand what agenda you have with a Biden-Harris presidential ticket. It is one of the most far left agendas that we're going to see in our lifetime that they're going to be pursuing, whether it be socialized medicine, whether it be launching a war against energy independence, whether it be increasing taxes during this time where we know we've got to get through this global pandemic. And so it's very important for us to talk about the president's record, the president's strength in fighting for the American people, for fighting for American workers, and ensuring that they know what the president has done and what his vision is for the next 4 years.
So where can our Wisconsin and other Midwestern viewers go to get a schedule for the bus tour if they want to get together with you guys on the pink bus?
I think we're hitting like at least five or six different locations tomorrow. On Sunday. Just go to DonaldJTrump.com. They have a section of events. Also, if they download the Trump app, that's a great way to also plug into the events that we're having across the country. We just came back from Pennsylvania. The bus was over in Ohio and Michigan. Next week, we're heading to Minnesota and Iowa. We have two buses going on. We've got the big pink bus, which is the Women for Trump bus, and then we've got the Team Trump red bus, which is also going to be traveling through these targeted states in the next 81 days. So it's very ambitious, but we feel very strongly that it's important for the Trump team to be on the ground to be able to talk about what the president's doing to alarm Americans of the Biden-Harris socialist ticket and ensure that people know that this is a very critical election. We are in unprecedented times, and we need a strong leader in the White House like President Trump to continue to strengthen our economy and make sure America gets back to work safely and that our children get back to school safely.
So you have Kamala Harris, who is, according to various nonpartisan groups that track voting records in the Senate, is the most liberal member of the Senate, even more liberal than Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, the fake Indian from Massachusetts. And yet there's been a drumbeat ever since. The word that the mainstream media is using to describe Kamala Harris is moderate. And sometimes they add the adjective pragmatic, as the New York Times did, pragmatic moderate. How moderate is Senator Harris, Mercedes Schlapp?
It's funny that you say that, because former Obama speechwriter, he was on Twitter today saying it's hilarious that the media thinks that Kamala is a moderate. She's one of the most liberal, if not the most liberal senator in the Senate. And she's actually ranked the most liberal senator right in the Senate, beating out Bernie Sanders. And so I think it's very important to understand that she doesn't have a moderate bone in her body. I mean, I think she clearly, based on her voting record alone, has shown that she is very much aligned with the squad, with AOC. I mean, she signed up to one of AOC's climate, supporting one of AOC's climate change legislation. She's obviously one of the co-sponsors of the Green New Deal that she said, quote, it was aggressive and progressive, cost, which of course would cost to lead to the loss of millions of jobs in the energy industry. She co-sponsored Bernie Sanders' socialized medicine, Medicare for All, government takeover of our healthcare system. So it's very important that we know where Kamala stands. And I think that it's clear to say that Joe Biden gave up any sense of being a moderate Democrat. Those seem to be the minority of the party right now. And it's why it's important for the American people to realize that these guys are not running in the center like you would normally do in a general election. These guys are definitely trying to fundamentally transform America. That means fundamentally change how we live. And I have to say, I just think that we deserve better as Americans. We shouldn't have to, you know, kneel in front of our flag. We should stand tall and be able to, you know, go to church if we can go to church instead of these people trying to close our churches. And we should have our kids be able to go back to school. And it's like these, you know, the Democrats, and just be clear, like, Biden and Harris, they're going to blame the coronavirus on President Trump, which is a complete outrageous political strategy, because we know that the president has done more in order to ensure that the state and local governments have the resources they need to be able to combat the virus. And he's obviously, through Operation Warp Speed, ensuring that we have the vaccines being developed. What? We have six current clinical trials. So we're making good steps in the right direction to deal with this global pandemic.
Did you hear what the president's top guy on the coronavirus, Dr. Fauci, said today about voting? Here, listen to this, Mercedes.
You see, when you go into a store, whatever that store is, you know, a CVS, drugstore, or a Starbucks, or what have you, they have people staying 6 feet apart with masks. I think if you stay 6 feet apart with masks, you can do whatever it is that you need to do, whether you're going to CVS, whether you're going to Starbucks, or whether you're voting. I don't see any reason not to do that.
So Dr. Fauci is off the dance card of the Democrat Party now that he says it'll be safe to vote in November, right?
Right. I mean, here you have the Democrat Party pushing for universal mail-in voting. And it's really important for people to understand the difference between universal mail-in voting and absentee ballots, where you can actually verify the address, verify the voter. Massive mail-in voting is that you literally send the ballots based on all the addresses in the election file, which we know people move all the time, people pass away, and it's very much open to voter fraud.
Right.
And so, you know, it just shows, and this is something that we're seeing. Democrats are going to be more inclined to vote through mail. Republicans are more inclined to vote in person. And so I think, and you're going to see about two-thirds of these ballots being casted before Election Day. So whether they vote in person or not, but it is safe to vote in person. I think that's a very important message. There will be the fear mongering from the left saying you cannot because God only knows something horrible is going to happen to you. And I just think that they really are just trying to push this massive universal mail-in approach, which I think could be open to voter fraud.
Yeah, deciding the election through what amounts to junk mail, you know? The ballots would be treated basically like you or the Postal Service treats junk mail that comes to you. Resident, your address, you know? It's a recipe for disaster, and the Democrats don't want to talk about it. How about Kamala Harris talking about when she was announced that trying to portray herself as coming from this hard scrabble background. You know, her father was a business professor at Stanford University. Her mother was a breast cancer researcher. And now it turns out, Mercedes Schlapp, she has more real estate than Joe Biden does. The Wall Street Journal is reporting today that she has $8 million worth of houses, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., Brentwood, and L.A. I mean, these are premier zip codes where she owns property. Again, no problem. This is something Democrats do, like Bernie Sanders has three houses as well. But she's hardly a woman of the people, is she?
I think she tries to portray herself that she's the woman of the people. I think that there's a couple, you know, there's a lot of weaknesses associated with Kamala Harris. Look, she's a California liberal. We do not need America turning into California. We have seen the destruction of what once was a prosperous state spiral in a down spiral. And what you're seeing is incredibly high taxes. The fact that they've just made they make these decisions like providing free health care to illegals, free college to illegals, where you have basically the homelessness crisis in that area, drug crisis in San Francisco. The amount of ailments, it just does not end. And that's why you have all these Californians leaving that state, going into states like Arizona and Nevada and Texas. And I love it when I see those stickers of please don't, you know, don't make Arizona into California.
Right.
And it's critical that we have to understand that we don't want to make Kamala's California into our America. And it's why we're very focused on winning this election. Look, we're going to run like we're the underdog. You know, we know that momentum is on our side, but at the same time, we got to make sure that people go out to vote. And that's going to be our goal from now to Election Day.
Mercedes Schlapp, senior advisor to Trump 2020. Have fun in Wisconsin this weekend. Thank you.
Thanks. I love being in the heartland of America. It's great to be here.
Thanks. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Alex from East Bridgewater, Mass.
This is Ian in Saco, Maine.
This is John Zuko from Hampton, Mass. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
During the break, one of the monitors in here had a Joe Biden ad on it. And it was promoting his call for a nationwide mask mandate. Boy, that's something that really makes me want to vote for somebody. A nationwide mask mandate. Great. 844-500-4242. Story in the paper today. Dan Snyder, owner of the Washington Redskins, is being pressured to sell the NFL team. He's a Republican campaign contributor. Ergo, he must be purged from the ranks of the beautiful people who own NFL franchises. Yale has been accused by the Justice Department of discriminating against Asian American and white applicants. The department said yesterday that it found that Yale discriminates based on race and national origin, violating federal civil rights law. Yale rejects scores of Asian American and white applicants each year based on their race, whom it would otherwise limit. For the majority of applicants, Asian American and white students have 1/10 to 1/4 the likelihood of being admitted as African American applicants with comparable academic credentials. No surprises, but I'm glad to see the Justice Department is trying to shame them into doing the right thing, which good luck with that. Pat, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah. How you doing, Howie?
Good.
I have one question for the millions of viewers that you have.
Yes.
If any one of you won $100 million in the lottery, would you people send your ticket in to get paid through the mail, or would you go in person to the lottery station to collect your check?
I think I'd go in person in an armored car, Pat, and the first thing I would do when I won would sign the back of the ticket like you have to, right? Exactly. You're absolutely right. I mean, think if you live in an apartment building, Pat, think of the way junk mail is treated in the lobby where the boxes, the postal boxes are. You know what it's like. I mean, nobody cares about that stuff. And they're just sending these things. Some states are already doing it, like the state I live in, Massachusetts, is already sending out these applications, and they're just coming out. In some cases, they're just getting dropped in the lobby. It's ridiculous. And people are getting mail delivered to applicants who are dead, who've moved to other states, in some cases to other countries. It's ridiculous. This is a recipe for disaster, and the Democrats are encouraging it. Thanks for the call, Pat. Carl, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Carl.
Hello, Howie.
Hi.
I spent 4 days this week at DeKalb County going through absentee ballots. And
yes,
we have a Republican on one side, a Democrat on the other side, and we were having to correct the ballots that were incorrectly done. And I'm wondering,
well, how do you correct it, Carl? How do you correct a ballot that's incorrectly done? Don't you just throw them out? I thought that was the way you handled it. Again, another recipe for disaster: correcting ballots. I'm Howie Carr.